The reading today is taken from John chapter 11, verses 1 to 6 and 17 to 26. The death of Lazarus. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." Jesus comforts the sisters of Lazarus. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?"
Let's pray together.
Father, as we come to your word, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will illuminate its pages to us, that we might sense your presence through it, that we might indeed just learn more of you and be drawn closer to you. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. We've been working through the I Am's that Jesus spoke about in the New Testament, and we are now at the fifth I Am, where Jesus says, and we just had it read to us, "I am the resurrection and the life." The University of Nottingham in 2000 undertook a study at the end of what was the decade of evangelism, which had taken place at the end of the 90s. During that decade, it was actually found that church attendance dropped by 20%. Most unusual during a decade of evangelism. And they discovered there were several factors which contributed to that drop. The attitude to the Bible was quite significant. In the responses given to those who filled in the questionnaire, some described at worst the Bible was impossible to understand. And at best, it seemed that the Bible was for those full of nice stories. Nice stories in the same way that Shakespeare told nice stories and was actually just part of our culture, part of our heritage. But it would seem hardly relevant to daily life. Well, we're looking this morning at one of those stories. And it's a very important story. Because to many of us, it's fundamental in our relationship with the Lord and fundamental to the Christian faith. The Bible has over 31,000 verses, and it tells us in many ways of the love of God and all the important and significant things that we need to know. But I'm going to suggest this morning that this verse that we're looking at is probably one of the most important, where Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." St. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, makes it absolutely clear how significant and important the resurrection is to the Christian life. Paul says, "If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. And so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be a false witness. False witness about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised." Critically important to the Christian faith, the fact that Jesus died and rose again. So I want this morning to look at this very important "I am" in, as you might guess, in three ways. I want to look at it in the context, the claim, and the conclusion. After all, I've said this before, probably many times from this pulpit, if you take a text out of its context, you're left with con. You're left with a con. So it's important, I believe, to look at this particular text in the context of where we find it. And I think it's significant this morning because that context helps us to understand a bit more about what Jesus is saying at this time. Because John 11, which we've had read to us this morning, John 11 shows us quite clearly that God loves us. Now, I know that quite often we are told in the Bible that God loves us and that we find passages illuminating that particular phrase. But it's in John 11 that Jesus demonstrates to us that love. You know, we often say that actions speak louder than words. Well, quite often the Bible tells us that God loves us. Here we see in John 11 a clear example in what happened that God indeed does love us. And we therefore need to look at the story, but this morning we haven't got time to look at the story in great detail. We're only picking up aspects of the story in relation to what Jesus says in this "I am." The context is the raising of Lazarus. The raising of Lazarus and from the dead. What we find is that Jesus mentions that in verse 5 in particular, Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary. He also had spent time with Lazarus and loved Lazarus as well. And we're led to believe as we look at that context, it wasn't a pampered love. It was a strong love relationship with them. And it shows that Jesus also loves us. But the passage also tells us that there's no guarantee that we will be sheltered and have a sheltered life if Jesus loves us. Here we see Lazarus dying. And of course, Mary and Martha were a bit disturbed and were anxious because Jesus didn't turn up when they hoped he would. That we're not sheltered from the pains of life, including death, which is our greatest enemy. The Father, after all, permitted his beloved Son to experience the shame, pain, and sorrow of the cross. And the context of John 11 shows us that Martha in particular didn't always quite get it right. And Jesus was at pains to try and explain to her what it was all about. And as a result of this, a bit like Thomas when he somehow didn't quite get it right, we find ourselves receiving one of the important things that Jesus wants to share with us. We know that in this passage, also if we've looked at it in a wider context, we see the humanity of Jesus. Because we find in this passage also what is actually the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. He's showing his humanity here. But he's also showing his divinity. And that he has conquered death. Jesus had gently corrected Martha in her thinking. And as we know from Luke 10, chapter 10 also, that Martha was often quite easily distracted. You know, the average office worker has 100 mini breaks during a week, attends 17 meetings, spends 56% of their time on the phone, so we can be easily distracted. I remember many years ago going through a management course, and in that management course they said to us, if you're in an office with a phone, you must always put your phone behind you, because there's always that distraction of when you're a bit bored, you want to pick the phone up and make a phone call. And if the phone wants you, it'll let it know because it'll ring. So we can't find ourselves easily distracted. And Martha's behavior brought us to this significant claim that Jesus was the resurrection and the life. And what we note in this claim is that we see the transformed Old Testament doctrine of death and resurrection transformed in what Jesus had to say to us. The whole power to restore, to impart, and to maintain life is in him. This was no higher claim by Jesus to his divinity. He is the one who has conquered death, and he is the one who has raised and will raise us from the dead. There's a twofold claim here. It's not just simply, I am the resurrection. It's, I am the resurrection and the life. See, the Old Testament doctrine of death was much in the shadows, as it were. And as we read through passages relating to this, it's often in the shadows. Something, in a sense, to be avoided, something not to be talked about. And even today, it can be with many people a taboo subject. We don't want to talk about death. As one man, when asked what he did by way of living, he said, I sell underground condominiums. He actually was organizing and building cemeteries and the land and the burial plots. In 2019, the comedian Ian Cognito joked on the stage with his audience about death. And he said, I imagine if I died in front of you lot here, what would you think? Well, sadly, minutes later that happened. He actually died in front of the audience as he joked about death. So what Jesus is reminding us, and this is where we draw the important facts from this incident, is that Jesus says to us, he who believes in me will live, even though he die. And verse 26, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? The first thing we've got to note about this is that when he says, do you believe in me, whoever believes in me, the actual, more accurate translation is, into me. You actually believe into me. In other words, there is a kind of relationship here. Not just a simple word, but a relationship. Secondly, he is telling us that, believers, death is swallowed up in life, and his life shall never sink into death. There's a new and everlasting life imparted by Jesus to his believing people. And thirdly, Jesus brings the future resurrection of the dead, the day of the resurrection, into the context of eternal life, into the present, as it were. We recognize that eternal life begins now. It occurs, and Jesus is saying, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm raising you to a new life. Eternal life starts now. As someone once said, eternal life is just not about pie in the sky when you die, but steak on the plate while you wait. A man once asked if he could be buried with a fork in his hand. He said, well, my grandmother told me that when she attended socials and dinners, someone would lean over and say, keep your fork. It was her favorite part of the meal because she knew that something better was coming. Something better was coming. The day of the resurrection will be a glorious day. Anticipation, psychologists tell us, is an emotion with marvelous healing powers. Are we anticipating that great and marvelous day? when we know, as Jesus has said to us, if we believe in him, we will never die. We will understand the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. Donald Rumsteed was a well-known character in the US. Some of you might remember Donald Rumsteed. He was the youngest ever Secretary of Defense. And he's actually the oldest Secretary of Defense because he held the position twice with two different presidents. And Rumsteed once said these things, that it was important for us to grasp a hold of. There are things that we know, but we also know there are known unknowns. That is to say, there are some things we do not know, but there are also unknown unknowns. The ones we don't know, we don't know. Now, if you can work that out, what he's basically saying is there are things that we know. There are things that we know we don't know. But there are things that we don't know we don't know. And the context of this is that there are things that we know. As Christians, we believe in the resurrection. We know it. The reality. Warren Wiersbe was once asked about this. How can we be sure about the resurrection? His answer was quite simply, because the Spirit of God within me makes that clear. The Holy Spirit is the one who just confirms that in our lives. The important aspect of this is often underlined at funeral services. This verse is regularly used at funeral services. I'll be using it tomorrow when I take a funeral. But it's also used alongside other passages in the Bible in the same context, namely Psalm 23. And Psalm 23 actually is a psalm about the resurrection. It tells us some important things about the resurrection. For example, in verse 3, where it says, "He restores my soul." The literal translation for that is, "He gives me back my life again." He gives me back my life again. And verse 6, where it says, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord," what it's actually saying in the literal translations, "I will return to the house of the Lord." But it's verse 4 that I want us to just consider in this context, where it talks about going through the valley of the shadow of death. We all will go through the valley of the shadow of death. And as in Psalm 23, we're reminded that, as the psalmist says, "I will be with you. I am the resurrection and the life. I will be with you." But what does it actually mean when it says we're going through the valley of the shadow of death? I'm going to finish this morning by just telling you a brief story about a gentleman who'd lost his wife, and he had two children, and of course they were grieving, and he tried his desperate to try and somehow comfort the two children. However, on the way back from the funeral service, He noticed as they came to a particular junction, a large van passed by. And the shadow of the van passed over them. And he said to them, "Children, would you rather be run over by the van or by its shadow?" We know 2,000 years ago that the truck, as it were, ran over the Lord Jesus. He offered his life, the sacrifice for our sins. And as a result of that, we, as it were, can experience and know not the truck, but the shadow. The shadow over us. I am the resurrection and the life. Who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by the believing in me will never die. And the important question, do you believe this? Let's pray together. Father God, we just thank you for the assurance of your word to us. We thank you for the comfort and the assurance that word can bring to us. We thank you, Lord, that you have conquered death, that last great enemy, and that we will know and can know what it means to have life and eternal life through you, and to know that one day we'll rise with you into a new and wonderful world. We praise and bless you for all your goodness towards us, for all that you give to us, but most especially in giving us Jesus, who not only showed the way, but was prepared to die and to rise again, that we might know what it means to experience that fullness of life with you. And we give you praise and thanks in his name. Amen.